I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 412, The Predator. Or, if you're fancy, The Predator.
Oh. With your pinky up.
Yes.
Yeah, or, you know, then you could go into a five-minute diatribe about why he's not a predator. Which is a thing that happens in this movie.
Oh,
twice.
Multiple times. Yeah,
I
think
that
comes...
was funny. I thought the second joke was like, I did not like. I don't. Oh, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems with this movie.
So I guess before we dig in, let's go around and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Devin.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. You guys kind of rhyme.
It's a really bad order.
Yeah. Well, if we did it the other way, then it would be like, you know, A-B-A-B.
Yeah, that's true.
I like it. There's symmetry there.
Yeah. That's, so I was going to make a poetry joke, something about sonnets or...
Yeah.
Thanks for not doing that.
Couplets.
And just to be clear...
Couplets!
Just to be clear, that's not symmetry. That was the only word I could think of. Like, A-B-B-A would be symmetry. I get it, but I like the pattern, yeah. So
he's like,
shove it.
Please, poets.
Yeah, don't at
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Keep it to yourself.
Exactly.
Well, you've got to figure, though, if you're a poet, you have so few opportunities to be smug about your craft.
That's true.
Right,
also,
that's true.
From what I understand, sometimes you don't know it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it doesn't all have to rhyme.
I heard about this man from Nantucket one time.
About what's in my soul. So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And we're on Patreon if you want to kick in a little money, get some bonus content. Patreon.com/realspoilers.
Pitching tent.
You could hear me losing my mind about AVP Requiem.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I've never seen
holy
any of the Alien versus Predator movies.
Can we not edit me today? Because this is ridiculous.
No, we have to.
Oh,
but go for the unedited version of us trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
Put
because
the explicit tag on this episode because it's going to need it.
Oh, I'll do my best to chicken noise it. But yeah, over on the Patreon this week coming up, we have it probably while you're listening, it will be posted. But we talk about the second movie, which is Aliens versus Predator.
Yeah.
Not Alien.
Right,
Aliens
yeah,
versus Predator. And it is a direct sequel to Alien versus Predator, which we didn't really realize before we watched it. So we had to figure out what was going on because we just decided to jump. What's the worst one? Like, what's known as the worst one? Oh, we'll do the second AVP.
Yeah.
Well, apparently there's a mythology that ties in these
Guess
two universes.
Guess what? It's now the Predator. The Predator is now the worst one.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like, that movie we watched before? The really bad 11% one on Rotten Tomatoes?
Retroactively,
I will make a bold prediction about this movie.
Oh, no.
Please. It's going to become a cult classic.
Why?
Because there's some really funny stuff
there,
in this movie.
Look, there are some beats that I didn't, that I thought were funny.
Like, there's some funny stuff in this movie, and this movie is this weird throwback. In a lot of ways, it's very much of its time. Its time being 1987. Like
I don't know, man.
I mean, I think what's throwing people off is that you don't see
men like this in movies anymore. And I'm not saying you should.
That I made that exact statement.
And this would have been like high comedy in the 80s. And now it's like you're watching it, and even when you're laughing, you're like, should I be laughing? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. And it's, I mean, it's basically like, you know, you have aliens versus Predator. Now you have Predator versus toxic masculinity.
That's,
but
yeah.
But if you accept it on that level, which is difficult to do, admittedly, but I think some people will be able to, it's pretty funny in spots.
It has its moments.
Yeah, it has flashes. But the other problem too is the tone is so weird. Like, maybe set it in the 80s then. Like, it just it's weird because the tone doesn't seem to know what it wants to be. Like, yeah. The jokes don't fit. Like, when you have like Keegan Michael Key, who's very funny,
right,
but doing his thing, like, it doesn't fit with the tone they're going for with the serious convict stuff. Like, it just it's funny on its own, but then
right.
It doesn't fit.
It's like three different movies.
Yeah,
and I was really surprised when we got to the end and saw it was written by two people. Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
well, two people, Shane Black is responsible for the first one.
Right.
Like, that's, the, he wrote
Ghostwriting.
Yeah.
He's not
well,
credited.
Yeah, right. He's not credited, right. But it's, I mean, it's kind of unspoken. It's not unspoken. It's spoken.
He cleaned it up. He turned it into what it was.
Right.
Like,
he's in the movie.
He doctored
Christ
it,
sake.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And I honestly thought that it was going to be one of these things where they took three different scripts.
Yeah. Oh,
it definitely felt
that
way.
And we would see written by A and B and B and C,
you know,
and F and G. You
right.
Know?
You know what this team is responsible for, right?
Monster Squad.
Oh, yeah,
this
oh, I
is
know.
Shane Black and Fred Decker.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Devin, what are your feelings on Monster Squad?
I haven't seen it yet.
Do yourself a favor and
sorry,
keep
Kevin.
It that way.
No, do yourself a favor and do it.
If you want to see this,
it's on Prime.
If you want to see this movie, but with 12-year-olds,
oh, your ass! No way. Monster Squad's way better than this.
I love that. Like, so if Joe was 6 and watched this movie, he would probably have great nostalgia for it.
I don't
too.
Know, man. Well, like, okay, taking into what Tom said about it does. I thought the entire time I was just like. I cannot believe that some of these jokes made it through.
Yeah. Like, I mean, make no mistake, this is a bad movie.
Yeah.
But it might be the best bad movie I've seen all year.
Maybe. I mean, it definitely has some stuff where I was like, that was kind of cool.
I found it very hard to find enjoyment in this movie. I did, and I wanted to. Like, here's the thing going into it. I went into it with, screw the critics. Like, I don't care if they get a bad review. There's going to be action. There's going to be kick-ass. There's going to be corny lines. Like, I went into it open mind. Like, I
right.
hope this is awesome. And I left it like that was so disappointingly bad. I found it very hard not to cringe through the entire thing.
It got to the pussy joke. And
yeah,
I was just like,
that was rough.
Wow, we are doubling down on this, aren't we? And this is not okay.
It's also very strange because we're going to get into it early on, but the whole premise with the autistic kid
right.
and being the evolution.
But I will say, like, that is something.
I don't
some
mind.
People, I looked into that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, there are articles on
no,
it.
No, that's,
yeah,
that's
like
fine.
That, he didn't just invent that out of whole
yeah,
cloth.
No.
There are a lot of people that think that, like, that in this age of computers, like autism takes on many different types. That's why it's a spectrum.
Right. Right.
And, but it used to be a disability like that, if you can even still call it a disability, would prevent you from succeeding financially.
Sure.
Which from a social Darwinism standpoint is what enables you to breed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that now that people with autism have a skill set that is highly sought after and highly profitable, like they are able to breed, right? They are able to find to work within the social construct, to find a partner,
right,
to have children. And that you're starting to see. And I mean, I'm pretty sure I've read articles about how, like, how much higher the prevalence of autism is, like, in Silicon Valley, which
sure.
is like,
well, haven't they said that they think that Zuckerberg might be on?
Oh yeah, it would not surprise me at all. A lot of people think Bill Gates is on
yeah.
the spectrum. Like,
right.
it's, you know, I've read that Bill Gates is a rocker. Like,
oh really?
Yeah, like not like rock music, but he tends to like rock back and forth.
Doesn't really like rock yeah. music.
And
the Michael Bolton.
So like, that's not.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know some people were honing in on that, like, it's offensive, but there are people that that have put forward that theory, like respectable medical professionals, and so then to co-opt it for an action movie, like I'm
don't have
okay
a problem.
With that.
I mean, we saw The Accountant, and The Accountant, he's definitely on the spectrum. Sherlock Holmes is on the spectrum. Like those characters are definitely in there.
What I think is also a little bit weird is how Hollywood is kind of treating autism like it's a superpower,
right?
Well, which that's the weird part.
That's been an issue. You're right.
Well, that's
the
weird part to me. I mean, it's no problem with having a character with autism. I have no problem with that. But the thing is that, like, when he's putting together the chess pieces, they play like superhero music. Like, they're making it into a superpower type thing just so they can sell this idea that the Predator is going to try to find Earth's greatest specimen next level and capture him because I don't think that.
So, are they going to give a Predator Asperger's?
Yes, and so I just think it seemed weird the way they were playing it up, and they turned him into a superhero with these powers, and I don't feel like that community, like, they don't like it when they're turned into superpowers either, do they?
What's that?
It alienates them.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and so
Predatorates them.
Yeah,
wait,
it's Predalien.
Predalien. Yeah,
you've seen those movies.
Yeah, I mean, I get the part. It's this weird dichotomy of you don't want to be reduced to that, but it's certainly better than the way a lot of disabilities have been treated over the years.
Sure.
But I mean, if I had a disability and I had my druthers, I'd pick the latter. Yeah. But I also get why that would frustrate people. But and I think it's also difficult because autism is such a broad range of symptoms that there are people with autism who it is something that can be a skill set. It can also be something that is definitely not a skill set. So, like, there's not a hard and fast rule about what autism looks like.
When I was in high school, I worked with kids with learning disabilities at a summer camp, and we had kids who were manageable and who were just, you know, they just had little tics and quirks.
Right.
But then we had kids who, I mean, and it was difficult, you know, for a 14, 15 year old kid to be, I don't, like, and that was even back then. So you're looking at like 97, 98. And like, there was nowhere near as much research done back then as there is now. So it was just like, you just held on to them. Like, there's nothing else you could do. Like, you had to hold them by, you can't hold them by the hand because they would wriggle free, but you gotta like hold them by the wrist to make sure they don't run into traffic. Like, it was difficult. It was definitely, I've worked with kids like on that full range of the spectrum, and it is, they definitely pick and choose in this movie. And I think in movies in general,
yeah,
what their version of this, spectrum is.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this movie's a piece of shit.
This opening scene with this faux Star Wars type.
Well, this is how the first
terrible...
one. This is how the first one opened. It's exactly how the first Predator opened.
It looked better than this 2018 version.
Yeah,
like,
I don't.
This CG from the opening was terrible.
Yeah,
it looked like crap.
Not to get into it, but there's like a point. Did you guys see Baywatch?
No,
the movie.
Yeah. Did you? I don't know if you remember like the fire,
the explosion on that boat. Oh my god!
Find it on YouTube. Like, that reminded me of this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you think when you saw these ships chasing each other in this like star battling, like the Space Wars type?
I mean, it's whatever. It was just like a regular. It's just like a regular, you know, mid range budget for a CGI. Yeah. I think it gets way worse when we see the second Predator, who's all CGI.
It's like the Meg. This is the plot of the Meg.
Yeah.
There's a bigger, better one that's going to come and kill.
I have literally seen college students create better CGI in some points.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is it's insane to me.
But
like,
why do you open your movie on that if you're going to have crappy CG? Like, I just felt like they should have not opened with that, because right from the get, I'm like, oh, this is the production we're
Here's the other
for.
Problem that they do, is they play the I won't call it the theme. They do kind of the theme from the first Predator, which is invoking that first movie,
mm-hmm.
which is a superior movie.
Yeah.
So like, you don't, in, we've talked about this before. Like, if you're going to do the homage.
Yeah. I disagree here, because I don't feel like the Predator has a memorable score.
It's not the score. It's like those jungle drums. And
yeah,
then,
but
like,
it does,
that John McTiernan kind of Die Hard.
Yeah, but like Rocky, that's like iconic. Star Wars is iconic.
Yeah.
Like, you could put a gun to my head and I could never describe the music from The Predator for you.
I could. Yeah. I've watched that movie a lot. That first one.
I honestly don't know that I've watched it since it was. I think the last time I watched the movie, it was on VHS.
It's really good.
Yeah, that didn't bother me as much as it just did that, like, this movie looks really bad. Like, the production, like, so we've seen a lot of $5 and $10 million movies, and we're like, that is a good looking movie.
I'm not, when this movie first started, because, and I'm not good at spotting bad effects versus good effects. I don't have an eye for it. And this was bad.
Yeah.
Like, I was this is not good.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought, like, are they deliberately B-moving up the joint? Like, do they want this to look bad?
I thought about that.
I can't imagine.
You mean, like, they want to do it a throwback to the 80s? Like they, throw, like, literally a throwback.
Like, they, like, yeah, like, did they want mediocre effects to just bring the whole thing down a notch?
It's just so interesting when you look at Shane Black. I don't want to speak for, I know Tom and I are Shane Black nerds, like, through and through.
Yeah.
And he's done some of the greatest action flicks ever. And he's directed three good movies. Iron Man 3.
But that's a very divisive movie.
Yeah, I agree.
I love Iron Man 3,
I'm
but
right there with
a
you.
Lot of people can't stand it.
I was hanging out with Spath yesterday, and we were talking, but he's like, Iron Man 3 sucks. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Yeah. But you like it, right?
I love Iron Man 3.
I like it.
Okay.
A lot.
Then you guys
go listen to the podcast.
You can stay.
Problem I had was House Party Protocol. I went into it. You have hundreds of robots. Maybe when they're attacking your house in the beginning of the movie, you should invoke House Party Protocol. That's all I'm saying.
I'm waiting for emergencies, Kevin.
That's bad writing. Yeah. But other than that,
but Nice Guys is a fantastic movie. I love Nice Guys.
I didn't go back and rewatch it. I did not like it as well. I wanted to like that movie so much, and it just never clicked for me.
Okay. Brad doesn't like Nice Guys either. That's another movie that people, like, either really enjoyed or they thought was really
and
like,
obviously,
just,
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is undeniable.
He
wrote Lethal Weapon 1,
right?
And then he's given story credits for
Last Action Hero, also good. He wouldn't be the age of that, but it really is. If you watch Last Action Hero, I think it still holds up because it is a satire on action movies of the time.
This reminds me of, like, the movie the kid is watching in Last Action Hero. Like, this, the Predator is the movie the kid is watching.
Supposed to be bad and a satire. Yes. Yeah, like, if this was really that cheesy and bad, like, and maybe had a $20 million budget, I could forgive it. But this thing has, what, we said an $88 million budget or something like that? This movie looks like dog crap. It does not look good. So, to my point earlier, we see $5, $10 million movies that look slick.
Look at The Nun.
Yeah, this movie looks like crap. Yeah. Like it's filmed like it's a digital handheld type thing.
But Nun needs a different level of effects.
I agree. Like, so he also wrote The Long Kiss Goodnight, which is...
I've never actually seen it.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and then Iron Man... He wrote Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. The Nice Guys, he has a story credit on Lethal Weapon, the TV show.
Again, I think that's just because he created the characters.
And then this one, and now and then he has Doc Savage in the... I guess he's working on it now, which is weird.
That's supposed to be with The Rock.
Golden Age. Like, that's interesting enough. But it's just, like, it's unbelievable how...
That's not even Golden Age. That's, like, pulp novels.
Yeah, that's pulp novels. Yeah. I guess that's true. Like, this one, obviously he can write. Like, it's, you know, he can write an action movie. And this one just, it feels like they've got this, the kid, what's it, Tremblay?
Jacob Tremblay from Room.
With... who's got Asperger's, who figures out how to talk to the Predators. You've got the crappy dad who's supposed to be Arnold, the Arnold character in this one. But at least the Arnold character, Arnold's Dylan, right? Is he Dylan?
No, Dylan is...
So who was he?
Carl Weathers.
Oh, that's right.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Yep. But, like, his character at least was likable. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing likable about this guy at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the biggest problem with how kind of weird some of the jokes get is that there isn't, like, this core likable guy. Yeah. I think they thought this guy was more likable than he actually was.
He's completely forgettable.
So, like, and then you have Arnold's team who, like, the epitome of toxic masculinity, but for whatever reason, that works.
Because you've removed them from culture.
Oh, good call.
You know,
they're just in the jungle.
They're just in the jungle.
Right.
So if
you're talking about the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So if
Jesse Ventura and Shane Black
have a bunch of assholes being assholes, they're being assholes to each other.
Right,
because they're
right,
stuck
right.
in the jungle. But now we're seeing them be like that in the world.
And you're just like, no, you're not cool.
Yeah.
I'm like, at first I'm like, oh, they got not Thomas Jane. I'm like, oh, that's
oh, no,
Thomas.
That is Thomas Jane.
Like, man, he looks different than I remember.
He looks gaunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, so that I had a problem with that. Like the whole Tourette's thing.
Did they forget about halfway through the movie? Remember when he has uncontrollable Tourette's, but then halfway through the movie, it's gone?
So here's what I'm watching it, I think he's faking. I think he's faking the Tourette's the entire movie. And then when it's time to be the soldier, he was like, no, I don't really. Like, he's doing, he's pulling a clinger. They do kind of. Like, he pulls a clinger. Like, he's trying.
I will say, I saw it at the Esquire, which has the worst audio.
Yeah, it's not
good. Worst acoustics. And so, like, there were a lot of lines that I couldn't.
Yeah, I think they do vaguely reference that he's bullshitting.
I don't remember that at all.
But either way, like, yeah, it turns off.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, that's weird because you wrote this whole thing and that to get jokes out of it and everything. Like, so, you know, it's funny that he's saying this stuff, haha. But then he doesn't do it anymore.
Is it really funny to mine Tourette's?
That's what I said.
Especially like it's not.
Like, it's not like that.
It's not 1987.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is the problem with this movie is he tried to recreate what he did or doctored up or whatever in 1987 Predator, brought it to the modern world where it was just simple in the jungle in the first one. So he's trying to do it in the modern world and he's throwing in all these guys and all these different disabilities and problems with these, you know, PTSD and Tourette's and all this stuff. And it just doesn't play as well. It should have somehow went back to be a direct sequel or something.
Yeah.
If they wanted to reboot.
They do kind of because they reference.
Yeah, they were like in 87.
And then in 90s.
He means a direct sequel.
A direct
and like,
sequel.
It should have been like 6 months later.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I got you.
It should have
been
set in the 80s.
Yeah, if this was set in the 80s and you had them just go back to a jungle and it was just a kick ass action movie. But it's like they tried to do something so complex with this. They tried to get more. I mean, this was trying to make a statement about the government and interference and, you know, all the stuff the government's
Jake
doing.
Jake Busey. This movie needed a character. That and I think they thought
Olivia Munn was that character,
but I don't.
Oh, Dr. Brackett?
Yeah.
But I don't think.
Shut up.
In
what?
This,
she was.
I don't think in this movie a woman can serve it in this role of the character that's like, should we really be talking like that? Or like, dude, that's not cool. Like, because now she's just the harpy
who's
also nagging
them. It doesn't help that she's front and center with the publicity of this movie.
Yeah.
Where she called out the dude who has.
I kind of can't help but wonder if, like, she wasn't happy with the way the movie turned out.
Oh, she's trying to bury it, kind of.
And this was a way for her to kind of punch back of, like,
maybe.
You know, of, like, she was okay with stuff like that to a point.
Right.
And then when she saw it collectively, was like, no, the tone's not working.
It's not working.
You know.
Let's shut it down, kind of.
Which is interesting. Like, again, I feel like in The Nice Guys and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, I feel like there's, this masculinity doesn't exist. You know, like in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, everybody's kind of, you know, like you've got Robert Downey Jr. who's kind of mousy.
Well, you've know, got, what he did in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, because you still get these kind of jokes, right?
Sure.
And you're like, why do they work there? It's because they're in the mouth of Gay Perry.
That's true.
He took the gay character and made him the tough toxic masculinity character.
Right.
And he flipped it on
its
head.
So against type.
Because it's the gay guy doing
right.
it. And so, like, you're like, this is a guy who's been fighting against this all his life. So when he's telling Robert Downey Jr.
to suck it up.
To quit being a pussy.
Right.
It rings in a different way than when it's a Navy SEAL.
That might be my third favorite Val Kilmer character.
It goes real genius that.
Batman.
Oh, I was like, Batman.
No,
Doc Holliday.
Okay.
Batman and the Gay Perry. Real genius. I forgot about real genius.
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah. But like, and then in The Nice Guys, this again, like, I guess this character is Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
But he's got a likability about him.
And you have a character who's like that and a character who's not like that.
Right.
And
right.
So the character who's not like that is the one, you know,
is Ryan Gosling.
Is like, oh, why would you say that?
Right.
Why would you you have the voice of reason.
Yeah.
And here you don't. And the closest you get is Olivia Munn's character, which is kind of
toxic femininity?
No, it's putting her in the role of having to be the joy kill all the time.
I guess
instead
that's true,
of being the role of the of another guy saying, dude, uncool.
Right.
Now it's just, oh, women.
That's a good point.
And,
yeah.
And the other problem with that character that I have is it's
the Olivia Munn character?
Yeah, it's such a terribly written character with a terrible backstory. And like the entire premise is that so they're trying to hunt down this predator because this thing lands and the main hero, war guy or whatever, finds it and they're trying to cover it up and say he's crazy. So she writes a letter to the president when she's six or something like that.
Sure.
And then they decided now to cross-reference her letter about aliens and pull her in because of that. Okay, so that's terrible. She's like a botanist or something or a biologist. They call her in because of this letter thing. And then she's like firing machine guns and jumping onto moving buses.
Yeah, well, poorly. Well, that's true.
But she's running alongside like a bus and jumps on it and onto it over a bridge. Like
I did,
they should have made her a badass army character, not right. a biologist.
When she's chasing the predator across rooftops, I'm like, is there a backstory?
That's
like, was she a ranger?
No.
Or what happened?
It's called terrible writing.
Well, my thing is that she's supposed to be a scientist, but she is so like kind of stupid. Like, no, she really is. Like, Just to be nice, there's a line, the most like notorious line to me in this movie. She says, "They're growing an exoskeleton under its skin." That's called a skeleton.
I didn't. Okay, first of all, when she said that, I was like, I don't remember seeing that, so I must have like dozed off for a second
because it's under the skin, Kevin.
But like,
you wouldn't see it. It's not an exoskeleton.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't remember that. But then she said it. I'm like, that was really weird. Like,
it was So like. The ship lands.
I believe that would be called an endoskeleton.
You are. Ooh,
there you go.
That
excuse
is
me.
Underneath is endo. Exo is exterior. But yeah, that was really weird. But anyway, my main point, though, just to go back to that, is they took this character, gave her a ridiculous backstory, and I know that happens in action movies, whatever, but that was so stupid. But then she comes, and she's like, she is with all these Army, Navy
SEALs.
She's
standing with them.
And it's like, no, like, why is she not the badass character coming from the war and being a badass? Don't make the biologist one that knows how to fire a...
Well, that's the thing
fully
is, like,
automatic
I feel like
gun
she
and...
is like out of this cast, she's the most recognizable. You know, like name recognition. When you say Olivia Munn, you know exactly who that is.
Sterling K. Brown.
I still feel like she's like
fair.
B-list.
He's on the most.
Sterling K. Brown is on the most popular television.
Okay, so
show in
those
America.
Two are
can
your
we,
main characters.
Can we talk about
the misuse of Sterling K. Brown?
Yeah, can we talk about? He's a good actor. I like Sterling K. Brown. Can we talk about how horrible he is in this movie?
I loved him. I liked him.
I thought
he
was
the only part that I enjoyed.
I thought he was in a different movie, but I don't think that was his fault. But
oh, every time he left, like it made sense.
I was hoping they were going to tell me that this was Dylan's kid.
Yeah,
like that's the story that I want is that. This Sterling K. Brown's character has been chasing these things the entire time because they killed his dad
or something.
Yeah,
that would have been neat,
you know. But they never like. There's no reference besides saying 87 and 97. Which even 97, I was like, "What the hell
are
you
talking?"
Okay, so 87's the first one.
Sure,
97's two.
Was it 10 years between them?
No. It takes place in 1997.
Thank you.
Okay. That's where they screwed us up.
I was in the same boat.
Yeah. I totally had forgotten.
Because when they said 87, I'm like, okay, that we know what that is. 97, I'm like, okay, so they just threw one away and one you're supposed to know.
Right, no. In movie verse,
got it.
The Danny Glover, Gary Busey. Gary Busey is in the second movie, and they cast his son in this movie, and they don't reference it.
That's weird.
He looks just like Gary Busey before Gary Busey went crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same.
But Jake Busey has aged better than Gary Busey did.
Oh, I agree.
Like, well, I mean, because he looks less like.
Jake Busey didn't, like, go face first off a motorcycle.
Yeah, also correct.
No, totally, totally. I just mean that, like, Jake Busey used to look identical to Gary Busey, and now Jake Busey, you can tell it's him, but it's like, he doesn't look.
You could see what Gary Busey was supposed to look like.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It's just like, he's like, okay, that's. I'm like, is that Jake Busey? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
like,
him in a while.
That's the thing, though, is like you have it's almost like what did we just talk about where they. Oh, it was The Nun where they cast.
Oh,
Tessa
yeah.
Farmiga. And they don't reference the fact that she looks just like her sister.
Sure.
You know?
That is weird to cast him. Yeah, like
and
that.
Not reference that his dad is killed by a predator in the second one.
Yeah. Okay. So back to this story.
Yeah.
So Sterling K. Brown, who like, I don't know. I hated,
I thought he was cheesing it up and I was fine with it.
Hated this character. I thought it was so bad. But he,
I liked him. I wanted them to find a way to flip him to make him be on the team. And I thought he was great.
Not going
to
happen because of that ridiculous, like, let's get rid of him in a hurry when it comes to time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, but I mean, it was like, okay, we have to team up.
Yeah, right.
You shot yourself. Okay. Like, okay. Yeah, but so anyway, so he's trying to cover up this thing and then track down the predator and the technology. But before he can basically sentence the main guy to Crazy Town because of, you know, he saw aliens, the main guy is able to ship the predator gauntlet with the computer controls and stuff and the helmet
right
back home to his kid.
It goes through customs and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Somehow that made it through.
And
well, I mean, I guess it could be a Halloween. You don't know.
It's
I
just
guess that's true. You don't know what the hell it is.
It's just metal in there. Yeah,
it's, and it's alien
it.
Weaponry. They're not going to know how that all
and
works.
And he swallowed the weird sphere thing that doesn't come into play later.
It might not even set off a metal detector.
That's true. Because
it's alien. You don't know. Yeah,
So the kid, played by Jacob Tremblay, he lives with his mom, and they're having marriage issues. I don't know if they're fully divorced or going through that process.
He's estranged. They say that he's estranged. Yeah. Also, you've got her in this movie.
Right.
Yvonne Strazowski.
Or something like that.
I don't know.
I was like,
why is she not a more in this movie?
And they have her sitting at home. Yeah.
They have her sitting at home. And she's in the movie for 5 minutes.
Yeah. As soon as I saw her, I'm like, oh, I get where this is
right,
going.
Right,
she's
going
to kick some alien ass.
No.
And no, she's just going to stay at home and knit sweaters.
Right. And feed these wackadoo loony bin guys.
I mean, she can. We've seen her. She spent 5 seasons carrying an action show.
What
was she in?
Chuck.
Yeah.
She's the special agent on Chuck.
Okay. And she was. Yeah, she was the one that knew how to do all the spy stuff.
Right. She would tell Captain Shazam what to do.
Yeah. Zachary Levi.
Shazam.
Chuck.
The Warriors 3.
The guy from Tangled.
There you go. Yeah. Flynn Rider.
And the OC.
Was he on the OC?
I think so.
Oh, okay. So we are introduced to our team. So we have not Carl Weathers. We have not.
It's quite the cast. So you've got Key from Key and Peele,
who is your Shane Black character.
You have Thomas Jane, who has
nobody.
Quote unquote Tourette's. We don't know if he's faking it or what with his movie. We have Alfie Allen, who is from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And then I don't know who
the black dude.
The Hispanic guy was. He's just kind of a goofy comic relief character. And then you have a black guy, which is like, I don't know if he was trying to emulate anyone from the
Dylan.
Original. You think?
That's the only guy he was. I mean, that's the only other black character.
Yeah, but he seemed there's.
Oh,
more.
I guess we should say that the other black character in the first one is the guy who.
Was he like the bomb technician or something?
Whoever, you know if you saw him.
Yeah. You know who he is.
He's a bit actor.
Yeah. We talk about. So we, Joe and I, on the Patreon like a month ago, we went back because we knew this was coming out and we reviewed the first Predator. So if you want to go back and listen to that one, and we go way more in depth with all those characters. But so you've got this bus full of loonies. You know, they're like, welcome to the loony bin or whatever.
Right.
So these are all the people with either like PTSD, one guy did the friendly fire, one, like they all are these military guys that are going for psychiatric help. And of course, this main character, he's, you know, he doesn't belong there because he really did see a predator.
You know, it's the bad guy from Logan, right? The main character of this movie is the bad guy from Logan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. Okay. The guy that's hunting
Logan
down.
And Laura.
Gotcha.
Down.
I couldn't place him, but okay, now I see it. So he doesn't obviously belong there, but he's stuck with all these crazy people, and you get your crazy team here.
It's like, okay, so this movie opens with the main character's like team is trying to rescue these hostages. And I was like, okay, this is the movie we're going to get. And he like blows one of their heads off. And I was like, I'm cool with this. Like, what?
According to Wikipedia, the Jake Busey character is supposed to be.
Shut up.
But if there was a reference
there wasn't.
To it, I missed
there
it.
No
there was
no reference.
There's no reference
at all. But
he's
supposed to be his son?
That according to the Wikipedia entry, Jake Busey as Sean Keyes, the son of Peter Keyes.
I wonder if that may have been the scene that got cut. Because there's the scene, there's a scene with that Olivia Munn is in with a guy who's we're not going to get into it. Everybody knows what happened, but I wonder if that's a reference in that scene and they had to cut it.
Yeah,
I feel like it'd be ridiculous to not.
That is so weird
for him to not be his son,
right?
Well, like if we're gonna get like this army action movie and then similar to the first one where they have to fight the predator.
Yeah. This should have been the movie. This should have been
them
the movie.
Stuck in the jungle.
Yes.
Trying to fight
that
this
was
thing.
The biggest problem, I think, is they took it out of the jungle and they tried to get so complex. They tried to do all this government NSA stuff. Then you have all the disabilities and the whole autism storyline turning into a superpower and this. They made it so complex. If they would have just stuck to their stuck to the basics and made it a crazy military guys versus predator that worked so well, I think we would have had a lot more fun of a movie.
I think you're right. So He's captured by the government. He's on the bus. The bus, for whatever reason, is going to this facility where they're keeping the Predator.
No, they turn it around to go there.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay.
So they're going to take him to the loony bin, and Olivia Munn shows up, Dr. Brackett, the biologist that wrote a letter at 6 years old to the president, and she says, I need to talk to the guy that that saw and interacted with the Predator, because they show her the Predator's body, and she needs to learn about it.
Yeah, so they've captured the Predator. The first Predator that we see has been captured, and they've sedated him.
Yeah, and Sterling K. Brown says, yeah, you're not going to be able to talk to him. He's indisposed or whatever, and she's like, I need to, so they have the bus turn around.
That's the thing, is like all of a sudden she has like alpha level military clearance where she's just like, no, you're going to do what I say. I'm sure Sterling K. Brown's like, no, we're not.
Yeah, it's a very weird, very dumb backstory for this character to get her involved. But anyway, so they turn the bus around, but then everything starts going crazy.
Well,
and
so
the
because
breaks
Nathan
loose.
Tremblay, this we find out
Rory.
It's the, Rory, who's the son of our main character. When they start calling this kid Asperger's, it didn't click with me that he has Asperger's until about halfway through. I was like, why do they keep like Asperger's? That's ridiculous. That's the dumbest. Oh, I see what we're doing. Okay.
Yes.
So he activates like the tracking device, mm-hmm. which lures the big Predator, whatever that was chasing the little Predator,
We don't know why, but spoilers, the little Predator is actually trying to escape with the technology
to help
to
Earth?
Bring it to Earth, because the bad Predator guys are trying to harvest DNA from all different planets and make a super Predator to wipe out all the planets or whatever.
Why?
And so
well,
the,
we don't know.
And so the small
because
Predator,
even in Predator land, they got liberals.
Yeah, right.
And so the small Predator that's trying to save humanity wakes up and kills everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's like, no, I want to help you guys. I'm going
to
murder all of you.
To be fair, they have him strapped down, sedated. Like, they're the end. I mean, they're... He has to either live and save humanity or kill them and escape.
Right.
Like, he doesn't know what they're doing, so I get that.
Right.
But he's, they're forcing his hand, like, when they're attacking him, he's
so this
attack.
Is more of the Predator from the first movie. Like, his, like, so, like, in the first one, like, he doesn't kill one character in the first movie because he doesn't have a weapon.
Oh, he doesn't?
No. Yep. Like, there's, so, obviously, Dutch.
Dutch
is, like, you know, he tricks him the first time, but I'm pretty sure there's a scene where, like, oh, he leaves the girl alive because she doesn't have a weapon.
Yeah.
Right?
Because she's naked.
He's like well,
I was shocked that we did not get a naked Olivia Munn in this movie.
Well, I'm wondering if that might be the scene that got cut because not her being naked, but that like so he doesn't attack her because she's naked.
Right.
And then later when her and Sterling K. Brown are like going through the compound or the lab or whatever, this is like 2/3 of the way through the film.
Yeah.
She even references.
No, it's her and the main character.
Is that what it was?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
She references like being naked.
Yeah.
He won't attack you. And then nothing ever comes of that.
No.
Well, yeah.
And maybe that's why she was so mad. She did a nude scene or a version of a nude scene with a sexual.
Yeah.
Oh,
that could be.
That very well could be. But so anyway.
Talk
about
characters coming right off the page. When she was cast as Psylocke, and I was like, yeah. Looks just like her. Let's do that. And then she doesn't have any lines. She's like, all right, well, Christ. All right. Perfect.
Misuse once
yeah,
again.
Yeah, totally.
So anyway, so this little Predator we find out later on is actually trying to help humanity. But of course, as they tend to do, the humans screw everything up because they want to research and they want to, you know,
right.
they're trying to just kill this thing and dissect it and do whatever because they're
but
scared
But I feel
of
like
it.
Sterling K. Brown knows why he's there because he says he's like, yeah, they were bringing me something to help. Save the, like they almost try to turn Sterling K. Brown face.
Oh,
sorry,
I don't think I
baby
mean, he,
face. That's a wrestling thing.
Gotcha.
Turn him into a good guy.
I didn't take that because he was willing to kill everybody. That like, oh, they know about this. Now we have to kill him. He wanted
that
to kill
true.
Olivia Munn.
That is true.
Wanted to kill the main guy. Like,
but
he was a bad guy.
I took it that way. I got the same vibe that at some point they were like
teasing that he was going to be a good guy.
That they were going to try and have a team up of some sort.
Maybe at the end when they were going to team up.
Yeah.
But
and that's the thing is like that line at the end. I dug that line. Where they're like, we're going to work together, but when this is over, you and I are going to have words, or you and I are going to dance. He's like, I got my shoes on.
Yeah.
But, like, they just keep, like, so, like, that movie is what I wanted to see.
Right.
But we didn't get
that
movie.
Not at all. So anyway, so he breaks loose. All hell breaks loose. Predator starts killing people. But this is, I think, I mean, is this where we see some of the fake blood type stuff. I can't really remember.
There's a lot of fake gore.
I think you see that when like the dogs come out, which
that is on the level of Hulk dogs.
Yeah. is atrocious. Yeah.
That's it's like if we had dogs and like they had like human heads on them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so
weird. And
then
we did their hair like ours.
Oh, the dogs have dreadlocks. Like, what? I didn't think it was funny when someone called them Whoopi Goldberg. Like, that was a funny line.
Yeah.
Because of the dreadlocks. Right. Other than that.
I missed that.
Yeah, I think it was the dude that shot himself in the head.
Yeah.
He's like, just think of it as like Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. That was kind of a funny line.
But also, but back to the dog. So, like, there's a scene where Rory is on, like, a soccer field.
Yeah.
And this pit bull is, like, comes out of nowhere, and Rory mm-hmm. kind of befriends him.
Right.
And then the whole team should, like, this is where the big fight happens, where they're like, where would he have gone? They go back to the school. The pred dogs show up, and they're getting onto this camper. And it's like a 3-second shot of this pit bull running full, like, hey, don't forget me. You know, like it's done from Rory's point of view, looking at the dog. And then they never reference the dog ever again. Gone. But then like the Hulk dog, that's fine. The pred dog shows up later as like their buddy.
Yeah. Because
it sounds like you're like one of the predator's homies.
I know.
Hey, Pred Dog.
Hey, Pred Dog.
Pred Dog. Let's go grab some brewskis.
That's D-O-G-G.
Yeah. But yeah, as soon as I saw the Predator dogs, I was like, well, they just stole that from Ang Lee. Like, these are stupid Hulk dogs.
Well, there are worse things they could have stolen from Ang Lee.
That's true.
Yeah. That's
so.
Fair.
We so, could have
like Eric Bana.
I was going to
So Rory, his mom
quit you, Predator.
Oh my god, that's so. Give me that movie.
Yeah.
Now we know how they got the DNA.
You haven't lived until you've seen a predator spit into his tentacle.
So
I didn't know how that would work because his mandibles and whatever.
So meanwhile, back at home, it's Halloween, and the mom has bought two of the stupidest masks
ever. I love the
ever.
Fact that it was Halloween because Shane Black's movies are always at Christmas.
Yeah. Yes.
And so he's like, what can I do different? Halloween.
Yeah. So, in L.A., because let's be honest, it don't want to get cold.
Right. So his mom, you know, gives him choices between two of the worst dollar store masks ever for Halloween costumes, and he decides that he's going to wear the Predator helmet.
Those Halloween masks, where is this kid trick-or-treating? 1982?
Yeah, those like, were awful.
Going back to your mind, can you even find those kind of Halloween masks anymore?
No. Yeah,
happy Halloween.
Yeah, that's what I first thought of. I was like, oh, great, they gave the kid silver shamrock masks. He's going to turn into bugs and eat his brain.
Hey, I would have been okay with that.
Alien versus Predator versus Halloween.
Versus the witch.
Yeah, here comes Tom Atkins. He's like, turn it off.
And hey, pretty lady, I heard you're having troubles with your husband.
And she'd be like, all right, let's go sleep together. He's like, Tom Atkins scores again.
So the kid decides to like duct tape up the mask or whatever to make it fit his little body.
I liked this part.
No, but like
he was. I thought it was cute.
So he goes,
blows a guy up.
So we find the very beginning of the movie also was so like mean spirited. Like I get they're trying to pick that there's bullies or whatever, but like these bullies are hardcore picking on this kid with these issues, and so you see them again trick-or-treating and messing with him, and he goes to trick-or-treat to this like drug house where there's like a pot flag or something, and so he's like, you know, is anyone there, ding dong, whatever. He starts walking away and this stoner guy throws a can at him, and this kid, the helmet automatically murders this guy.
He gets hit like he throws the can with expert pinpoint accuracy and clocks this kid.
The helmet has a missile launcher that comes out. And so at first I thought it was gonna be like a funny warning shot type scene.
No,
this guy gets blown into bits. So this kid, even though he wasn't knowingly, but like this kid murders this guy.
No, he goes,
does it automatic.
He goes, cool.
Yeah.
That's like, the lie. He just blew a guy up and the kid just like, cool.
Yeah, it's like it was so.
That's
weird.
Not the reaction.
With everyone else in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Poor grandma.
I'm assuming there was probably more people in that house.
And what I don't like is that the bullies never get their comeuppance. They
run away.
Yeah,
the bullies grow up to be the people on the team that are hunting the predator. Like, that's like, that's what's so weird about it, is that they show you these kids who are bullies that you're supposed to hate, but almost everybody on this team they've assembled
are all bullies.
They're all that, those yeah. kids. They're, yeah. They're all the grown-up version of those kids.
Yeah,
right.
I just didn't like that they made those bullies so mean in the beginning, where it's like, this kid clearly has issues, and they are like hardcore picking on him, and then they just see some guy get blown up and they run away. It's like, no, they didn't ever get there. No. They're scared because this guy has a helmet.
Has
like
a sweet helmet.
So I don't know. I thought that was really bad. Like,
right. You know, so our main, the loonies, which is what they've started to call this team of people, and Olivia Munn shoots herself in the foot because she's a woman, doesn't know how to use a gun, and knocks herself out. I did like where, like, he went to go catch her. Like, she's on top of this bus, and the main guy is like, just jump and I'll catch you. And she's like, okay. And then he's like, oh, no, I got to go. And
that
like walks yeah. away, and then yeah. she hits the ground. I did enjoy that.
But also, she got on top of the bus, like we mentioned earlier, because she apparently can run and chase down a bus, jump off a bridge.
A bus that's going, what, 40 miles an hour?
With a gun. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was so far-fetched, even for action movies. Like, again, I really would have liked to have seen her be some kind of special ops, kick-ass, you know, military or right. something. It would have explained it so
have
much
her
better.
Be your Dutch character.
Yeah. So they're basically all on the run. They've got all these guys that escaped. Also, do we ever know what branch of government or military the Sterling K. Brown crew is? Like, are they government officials?
I'm assuming they are government officials, but they never say who they are.
Because they
with.
Get these military guys sent yeah, away or whatever.
Right.
So this is the
they're
problem.
Halliburton.
This is the problem that I had with that whole storyline. It's like, okay, so you've got the government officials, then you have all these army, quote-unquote, loonies who are killing these mm-hmm. people doing their job. Like, these military can't help that they're trying to guard yeah. the loonies. They are straight murdering
I was thinking that,
army.
Too. It's like, yeah, you're killing a lot of people that are just doing, making, like, 17 grand a
yeah.
year.
It's almost like, so, just here's your wrestling corner, right? Is when they would go to arrest, like, Steve Austin or Roman Reigns, and they fight back, and you're punching security guards, that's not as bad.
Right.
They've just done this thing with Roman Reigns where he, like, knocks out a cop.
Yeah,
like in full uniform.
Yeah,
it's just
like,
kinda like
that's, you can't.
You can't.
No.
You go to jail for that.
A rent-a-cop is one thing.
Yeah, right. A security guard is kind of like, yeah, right. It's not so. Which is what they did with Austin. Austin, I will say this: they all, like, when they put Austin in handcuffs, he went along with it.
Security guards.
No. Oh. If the cops put okay. Steve Austin in handcuffs, he went along. He'd fight yeah. and he'd run his mouth, but he went along with it.
Yeah. You
if
can't
they
knock
were security guards, he's just like stunner to you, and flip you off.
Yeah. So this was a big problem I had, because you've got all these these military guys that are murdering
yeah.
government. I mean, army, whatever these guys are, and so it's like, these are people with families. These are just people doing their job. It's different. In action movies, it's always okay to kill the bad guys, to kill the terrorists,
right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To kill the bad guys that are committing crimes and trying to murder people, yes, you can kill them in action movies because they're the bad, you know, just whatever.
The Russian John Wick
yeah,
guys.
Exactly. It's like, those are the bad guys. In this movie, our heroes are killing innocent
military personnel.
And that's not right. And so the thing is to think of, they broke out, they're murdering these people. So in the end, I know that not many make it, but the point is, it's like, but this guy's going to get cleared and get medals and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
he becomes like the head of this organization yeah. now.
After all the
he
murdering.
Gets a new suit.
And, yeah, he does get a new suit. Oh my God.
Murdering and crime.
Okay, I got to tell
well,
you.
Let's get there. Just keep going.
So, so they get away. Now I'm trying to. The big predator shows up and destroys the baby predator.
He's like what, 16, 13 feet tall
right.
or something?
So what I was hoping they would say is they're looking at this thing's DNA sequence. They're like, it's combined with human DNA. I'm like, tell me it's Arnold's DNA. The one human that beat these things, why wouldn't you like take his DNA and like, they're saying they're collecting the best of the best.
Yeah.
So the one human that outsmarted these things.
No, because they have this whole other plot line.
That's the thing. Is like, if you just kept it simple.
I did like the line when at the beginning where she's like, it's mixed with human DNA. And she's like, so you want to know if somebody effed one of these things.
I did enjoy that
line.
And
I was like, you know, like there were a lot of. Like
there are
funny
beats, there are Shane Black beats that
yeah.
work,
yeah,
yeah. And then there are other ones that do not work,
yeah.
So yeah, so they get away. They're in this hotel room. Olivia Munn kind of tries to fight back. I do like this. I enjoyed this where like, oh, she went for the gun. You owe me $10, and they pay up. And then she's like, oh, I should have bet that she would pull the trigger.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about that. But this is where the Thomas Jane joke comes in, where he's like, sorry, listeners. He's like, I want to eat your to Olivia Munn, and she's just like, what?
Yeah. Like, that's the joke.
And they just, it was too long. They held on.
But they went back to it. Like, she's like, you just said you want to.
That's what I'm saying. They just kept going, and it's like, God, like, they should have been like, he has Tourette's or whatever, and moved on. But, like, they just was a weird.
It's the line from Thor where he's just like, he's your brother. Well, he's adopted. You know, like that's the line.
Yeah.
You know, that style of joke. It was weird.
They were trying to really play that up for laughs, and I was like, just keep
going. And it was not working.
Yeah. It's weird.
So, yeah. So then they take off from there. They run into the big predator when they realize that the main guy has sent this thing to his, like, the little predator's gear to his own kid.
Mm. They go to the house. He's like, hi, honey, I'm home.
Yeah. And I did, like, she's like, oh, now you show up? Cool. Dinner's waiting for you.
Now she's like, you're not allowed here.
Yeah. And then she walks in her living room and hears all of these crazy people. And this is another line that I liked where he gives this speech. No, she gives it, like, he's like, he's a garbage human being, but he's an excellent soldier. And the
funny line was, yeah, I didn't like your speech.
No, he's like, I liked your speech. It was fine. Like, it didn't really do anything for me.
No, the Hispanic guy he's like, yeah, I didn't care for your speech, but I just want to go help or whatever. Like, that was kind of funny after the big line.
And I do like that Alfie Allen's like, I enjoyed your speech. Yeah. And then, like, walked out. So now they're going to find the kid.
I do have to say, though, you have to remember that the only reason they can find and track down these things is because on the soccer field that you mentioned earlier, we find out that the main black guy is part of the Loonies. He says that he shot a CO, but he was the CO. He tried to commit
suicide. Yeah, he's got a big scar across his head.
So he ends up shooting the pred dog and giving it a lobotomy. That's how they describe it.
They said
and rewire him into a good dog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's literally what happens.
So now this dog is working for them and is their friend, and he helps track down the predator.
But
and
he
the
doesn't
kid.
Do anything. He's a dumb dog.
They need him so they can follow him because they're like, how are they going to find the predator? They're in the car or whatever following, or in the chopper following.
Is that what they're doing?
How about get to the choppers?
And then they go to motorcycles.
I got to tell you, I didn't mind that.
But
like, it was a nice throwback.
What were all those motorcycles doing there, and why were they able to?
They were waiting for them. They're waiting for the team of loonies.
Yeah. They all had keys and they were all lined up.
Oh, no, those
nice
are hotwired. Theirs are absolutely hotwired. I don't know how you hotwire most
of them. I don't know. But I was just like, oh, God. They did, like, how can we get this line in there? We need the line. Now,
you know, they
we
do that in AVP Requiem, too.
What did they do?
Get to the chopper.
Yeah,
like,
but
there's a scene where she's like, we got to get to the chopper. I was like,
oh,
right.
Okay, yeah. You but know. This one was like, ooh. Yeah. Anyway,
that's
so,
the thing. As we said before, you do an homage and it works. You're just like, that's good. You do an homage and it sucks. You're like, ugh. Garbage.
Yeah, absolutely. So they use the dog to track down the predator and Lori.
They get they use the dog to track the military because the military now has Rory, who can take them to the ship. So now this is where the big fight another big fight happens. The 12 feet tall alien predator thing has figured out.
Oh, he's not an alien predator.
Oh, that's
predator.
True. He's just a predator.
Yep.
He's figured out how to... So they set up this the language converter.
Yeah.
And then, like, the thing is just like, y'all can go. I just want McKenna.
Yeah. They've got it. They've got a Siri.
As soon as they said that, I was like, oh, it's the kid.
It's obvious.
Like,
yeah.
So it's, yeah. Because they said they're like, well, some people think that Asperger's is the next step.
But they didn't say that till later, did they?
No, they said it right before we get to here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was early on they set up. But no, it was a clear, yeah.
Yeah.
I want McKenna.
Right. Know. And they're like, not you. They mean the boy. It's like, well, you guys are stupid if you thought that they thought that he just wanted the guy, the sniper who doesn't do anything.
But also, here's the thing. In the translation, the predator says, I want your best warrior. And then that's why they think it's the guy. But it's like, no, I mean, he doesn't say, I want your best evolutionary DNA chain. He says, I want your best warrior. The kid's not the best warrior.
Yeah, to be fair, translation's a bit weird sometimes. So it's like, have you ever translated something with, like, Google Translate?
Sure.
It's a little off.
But it's like, but that's BS writing, though. It's like, he says, I mean, they make you think it's him because not only does he have the name, but I want your best warrior. And you think, oh, it's the guy that is able to stay alive and defeat the predator and this and that.
This is the scene where she brings up being naked and it leaves her alone. Is it while they're in this wooded area?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So big fight happens. The big predator kills everybody. This is so, like, I liked this part. Like, this felt like a Predator
movie. Did you
movie.
Like it when Keegan and Thomas Jane had a
that
bromance?
So they're gay, like, right?
I didn't take it as
I
bad.
Was wondering.
I think it. I think they are.
I could. I kind of felt like maybe they were alluding to that.
But what but it was so it also, unearned.
It also could have just been bad writing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like
so we find out
I took it as they were just really close, but it was so unearned at the end because you don't like these characters well enough to
well, they
care.
Did, like, well, they're on this farm, and they kind of say, like, the main guy, not Dylan, says, he's like, oh, yeah, friendly fire, there were two survivors, mm-hmm. and it was Keegan-Michael Key and Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't, and they still talk. He's like, dude, they sat outside courtrooms together. They sat outside offices together forever. Like, yeah. Of course they're going to be friends.
So they never really build it up that they're really good friends. And all of a sudden you hear this story, they are.
Well, they do that one, like they do kind of reference, like, so I guess Keegan-Michael Key is like having a breakdown, like a PTSD moment. And Thomas Jane kind of walks over and he's got his hand on his shoulder. Yeah. He's like, you're okay. He's like, don't worry. Like, he does that sometimes. It's fine.
Right. I would have liked more of a build up. All of a sudden they flip a switch. He doesn't have Tourette's. They're best friends. Right. And then they're both mortally wounded in this fight against the Predator. And then they do this whole like 3-2-1, we're going to shoot each other thing. And it's like supposed to be this moment. And you're like, I just don't care about these people. Like, it's not a cool.
I'm surprised you made it this far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're losing everybody at this point. Yeah. Everybody.
Allen, doesn't he explode in a helicopter or something?
Sure.
I don't remember.
Why not? Yeah, it basically comes down to not Dylan, not Dutch, Olivia Munn, the kid, and Sterling K. Brown.
Quinn. Quinn is the soldier.
Quinn is the... Quinn McKenna?
Yeah, Quinn okay. McKenna is the soldier.
All right. And that's your last group, and somehow they figure out how to beat the alien, or beat the Predator. They set it on fire. Oh, that's how they kill Alfie Allen. Alfie Allen gets stuck in like a bomb blast or something because yeah. he sets up like this very much like the first Predator where Arnold kind of sets up,
yeah,
you know, like an obstacle course of death for the Predator. This is very similar. And that's Thomas Jane gets set on, like, jumps on the thing and starts stabbing it in the face and
gotcha.
Gets thrown through the.
So, and then another ridiculous scene, like the bus scene, but they all like jump onto a spaceship that's going to fly away and they're on top of it. I'm like, that's not how, like, you could not just
no.
be standing on top of a moving spaceship that's like, no. would fly off, but they're just bearing down. And then it's kind of cool. I like this because you never see this in movies, really, about force fields.
That's true.
I thought this was a very smart yeah. technique because
yeah.
the force field goes around the spaceship, and it's like, yeah, we've seen force fields, but you never realize what it does to things in its way.
Right.
So I think this is the Hispanic guy that's standing up on it, and when the force field closes on his legs, it chops him off. It's like, wow, that's what that makes sense. That
yeah,
would do
then,
that.
And then McKenna is stuck underneath it, the yeah. force field, and you're not Dylan is on top
on
of
top
it.
On top of it, yeah.
Yeah, so Olivia Munn apparently...
Oh, but and then
also,
not Dylan.
Also, well, Olivia Munn is also an expert grenade launcher firer.
Of course.
And nails the one engine perfectly.
Of course, biologist.
Right, biologist. Yeah. And then...
Oh, letter writer at 6.
Right. So, okay, the not Dylan character...
Yeah.
When so they're face to face, like one's underneath the force yeah. field, one's not, and he's like bleeding, like from the mouth,
yeah,
which to me says internal injuries, but they never reference
just in the battle, I guess.
Okay,
maybe we
and
didn't
then
catch
he's just
it.
Like, I'm just gonna kill myself.
I guess he's basically, I think maybe that was to show, like, I'm not just willy nilly doing this, like, he's like, I'm gonna die anyway,
gotcha.
I can save you by taking an engine, and he pulls a. You know, he jumps into the engine and makes it. It's like
right.
chink, 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 as he goes down it, and boom, it bursts out one of the engines. So he's
the
dead.
Exact sound effects, actually, is
yeah.
what it was in the movie.
It would
yeah.
probably better, honestly.
That's probably true.
Did you enjoy that more?
I did. Yeah. So then McKenna goes in and fights the Predator and kills the Predator.
Slides down the force field, which again, I'm like,
kind of cool.
A clever use of
yeah,
like,
it was pretty cool.
How you can interact with the force field. Okay.
Kills the Predator.
How does he kill him?
I don't remember.
Don't they use it on fire?
I thought don't they use the force field to cut off part of the one of the Predator's
arms? Oh, that's
arms.
True. They cut off yeah. the Predator's arm,
and then he's really weak, and then it's yeah.
They oh, that's right. They're in like they shoot the grenade launcher at him, and they blow him up.
Yeah,
and then he like
and then
yeah.
they do the burial with all their little
yeah. Oh,
puts,
yeah, they did, didn't they? I forgot about that.
And she puts the tinfoil unicorn or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll miss you most of all,
yeah.
man.
even though he was weird and she like made fun of it, she like kept the tinfoil thing
tin
he made.
Foil
and
reindeer or whatever. Ever. Pony. Yeah, and then we've cut to like a year. I don't know.
Okay.
I got to tell you, I was excited about, like, I was like, I was kind of getting hyped about this.
Yes, because
I was
I was
thinking it was Arnold.
Yes.
I thought it was an alien.
And that, no.
Oh, that would have been. Yeah.
That is who it was supposed to be. Because,
okay, so
I turned to my friend John, who I saw this movie with, and as soon as, this thing is a casket. They say,
yeah,
the alien did get his cargo through, the alien that was trying to help save Earth.
They brought the one thing that could beat
them. His cargo did bring the key to beating them, and it's a freaking casket. Obviously, there's supposed to be a person in there.
Yeah.
And then the way that they do it is they have the tiny top of the casket detaches into a robot armor
thing. A drone.
It's like, no, a person was supposed to burst out, and it was supposed to be freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Was it supposed to be current day Arnold? Or
older,
were they
because he would have aged from 87. Okay.
I was thinking they...
Like his body preserved.
I was thinking they cloned him.
No.
And we get Arnold from 87.
De-aged him a little, but like it's supposed to be like he preserved him and brought him to fight because he's the one that can fight them. That would have been badass.
Oh yeah.
Arnold's like, they asked me to do this movie, I told them no, not unless they rewrite this script.
I gotta tell you, good job, Arnold.
Yeah, he like, flat out turned it down and did not. So they couldn't get Arnold, but they clearly built up that it's a sarcophagus.
It is like human... I was thinking the entire time. I was like, dude, he's gonna come out of there.
Yeah,
and he's gonna like give me a cigar.
Why would you have a tiny wristband come out of a sarcophagus? It makes no sense. So they built it all up for him to bust out, and he wouldn't do it. And so they have this armor come out.
You know what? Honestly, if that had happened, that may have. I may have
changed
liked this.
Opinion?
It
yeah.
may have changed my opinion about this movie.
If Arnold was there at the end, yeah. looking badass.
If we're talking like 87 yes. Arnold.
Yeah. yeah. No, I agree. It would have been like, okay, that was cool. But yeah. no, it turns into this like Iron Man type.
It's like an armor.
It's an Iron Man armor yeah. that comes out of a wristband.
Right.
And like goes
and
on
it
to
attaches
a scientist.
To a scientist. Yeah. Of all the people you want that thing to attach to, a scientist is the last person I want that
but
on.
But it shows though that like it was so sophisticated. I think it meant like it kind of thinks for itself. Like even yeah. the scientist that was this mousy guy turned into this badass. Like,
which the suit was cool.
Yeah.
Like I liked the look of it. But
Arnold
yeah.
being the secret weapon was where it was
I guess they're hoping for a sequel, which they ain't going to get.
Oh, yeah. not a chance.
And I honestly, like, you know, Shane Black's career was gone. Like he didn't have a career post
before Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Well, I think Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is him coming back.
Yeah.
Post Long Kiss Goodnight is kind of where he left. So he does Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. People are like, oh yeah, that guy was.
I mean, it
good.
Made like $2 million. It didn't do any box office.
Yeah, but it showed that he still had it.
Right. And it showed that Downey Jr. still had it, or yeah. that he was back. I think this is it. I think this may have killed his career a second time.
I'll never say never. What did you think about Shyamalan at the time of whatever that
well,
after
and his
was?
Career was over for a while.
That's what
I'm saying.
Mean,
I'm just saying, like at this point, he may be going into movie jail.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Shane Black. I mean, he got Iron Man, and that made a ton of money, but it is so polarizing. And then, like, he's done some little things. Like, I don't know. I feel like he kind of just lives on the outskirts, where it's like he can do something really good.
I think maybe he's right. He's better with these $5 million.
Yeah, I agree. Just put him on that kind of like Shyamalan. Stick him to these.
Right.
Man, doesn't need a huge budget. Yeah.
Bring it on.
So that
yeah,
was
that
the
was.
Predator.
Man, I was so pissed this was not good.
I mean, to Devin's point earlier, like when you see the Predator and those first movies, even the Alien vs. Predators had some really good practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, they CGI almost everything as they do in movies nowadays. And like you see the Predator open its eyes and they're so fake and CG looking.
It's crazy that in AVP, it's practical.
Yeah.
And that's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, what's weird is that the first Predator in this movie is like mostly practical, right?
Yeah.
And then the second one is all CGI.
The 13-foot-tall one, I guess, just because it was so big and everything, I mean, it just moves
you
like CGI.
It's movie magic, man. Like it, yeah. you know, you can put somebody
I don't
in a suit.
Why they
Force
just
perspective.
Look at the Hobbit. Yeah. Force yeah. perspective.
Right.
Yeah. It's a shame that they had to do that. And I get it. It's cheaper. And then again, to Devin's point, the blood, like the green blood looking so fake, reminded me of R.I.P.D. with the fake blood.
Oh,
remember
sure,
that?
Sure.
Ugh, it's. These movies, I mean, think about all the horror movies we've talked about in like the $5 million range that have come back with practical effects and how good they are, you know, and it's like, that's the thing. You don't need the budget. You don't need $90 million. Give this a $30 million with no names and make it gritty. Put it in the jungle where you don't need
a
bunch of...
You could give $30 million with this cast. I mean, the only person you're... The only two people you're paying are Sterling K. Brown and Olivia Munn.
I don't think you're paying
Keegan,
them that much.
That's what I'm saying.
But like, you still have Alfie Allen, Thomas Jane.
You're not paying
Key.
Alfie
those
Allen.
Those guys
that, aren't making it. They're not.
I know,
dude,
but they're
on Game
they're
of Thrones
names,
as a penis-less jerk-off.
I know. I'm just saying you
spoilers,
still...
Spoilers, by the way, for Game of Thrones.
You still have names. I'm just saying. Like,
yeah,
you
but you're not paying Arnold. You know, you could get away. Right. You could get away with a $20 million budget.
Yeah.
30 maybe.
You can replace anybody in this movie and its box office would be completely unaffected.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. That's mm-hmm. my, yeah, that yeah. I totally agree with that.
To your point, though, you put Olivia Munn as your main character, I think you see an increase.
Yeah, you they, especially in this day and age, why did they not make the main hero a female badass?
I gotta think it's Shane Black.
Yeah. This movie is completely different with Olivia Munn because she's doing badass stuff. Make her the soldier.
Make her Dutch's daughter.
Yeah, that was the big miss here, and I just don't know why.
How great would that reveal have been, though? So if we say that she's Dutch's daughter,
yeah.
and then Dutch shows up at the end.
Yeah, team up. Do you think that they're afraid that the audience for Predator would not want a female main
I think it's
character?
Possible.
Like Shane Black, the people making this movie are thinking like, you know, it's mainly men that like this movie. Do you think they would have faced backlash? Like, oh, you cast a... I'm just curious.
I mean, in today's internet environment, yeah. I think that's absolutely true. I just read an article that yesterday that they think that the box office for Ghostbusters was affected by Hillary Clinton running for president. Like, there was just so much hate towards her that they were just like, that movie.
Interesting.
Like, that's like they're thinking that there may be some correlation between the two. And I was like, there could be. Who knows? That, you know.
Yeah, it's a crazy dance they have to do with the online, you know,
right.
voices. And it's nuts. It's got to be a tough time to make these decisions.
I will say, I don't think this is like a hugely beloved franchise. I get the first one's a classic. But that's it.
But yeah, they haven't made a great movie since.
No, they haven't.
It's not
like Alien.
Decent,
you know?
They're trying to make it into Alien is the thing because, you know, that's what combining them and Joe and I get into it on the Patreon. Their Alien has such a beloved following and such a mythology to it where if you go on the Wikia, the avp.wikia.com,
it's nuts.
You could read for hours and hours and days about this mythology and the timelines and everything. And so they've tried to give Predator the same mythology to make it like, you know, and it's just... It's not working as well.
No.
Well, it was always, you know, the whole premise is how simple it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
In a jungle, hunted by alien, go.
Done. That's what
like,
makes it
so good. It wasn't
so
supposed to be anything more than that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's yeah. And this was a complete misfire on almost every level.
It's just bad. It's really. Yeah. It's really. I was so looking forward to it.
Maybe Shane
like,
Black goes to Blumhouse.
That yeah, could be for the best.
Sounds yeah. way right. better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Evan. You can find me at AllDogsGoToDevon on Twitter with the number 2.
This is Kevin Brackett. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at RogerKubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/TomO'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online, if you want to chime in on how much you didn't like this movie.
I think somebody actually did like this movie
yeah.
on the
yeah,
Facebook
Chris,
page. Yeah.
yeah. And feel free to swing by Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Also, while you're in front of your internet delivery device, don't forget to go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, and check out our Patreon at Patreon.com/RealSpoilers. So that's it for this one. No idea what we're doing
I think
next
it's
week.
The clock,
the clock in a wall yeah. with the tickings from inside the house movie.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
So,
quote the Raven, Nevermore.
Yeah. So that's what you have to look forward to until next time. So thanks for tuning in. And until then, the creature hates cochlear implants.
Hey. Come on, shut up, man. I'm losing count. 93, 94, 95, 96. Forget it, you dumb
shit. 100,000. $100,000.
Did you hear what he said?
$100,000? I'm sorry, I can't afford that, not on my salary. But look, I'll tell you what, I got a better idea. Here. Now, let me say I take the whole stash off your hands for free, and you assholes can go to jail.
Hey,
what do you
whoa,
say about that? Now, I can read you guys your rights, but nah, you guys already know what your rights are, don't you?
This badge ain't real. You ain't real.
Oh, you sure are a crazy son of a bitch.
You think I'm crazy?
Yeah.
How you calling me crazy? You think I'm crazy?
Yeah.
Hey, you want to see crazy? I'll tell you.
Hold up. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.